Pierre Trudeau was a rare character in Canada. His success as a politician spanned decades, and many Canadians never tired of him. That was thanks in part to a mystique that he carefully cultivated. Tonight at the University of King's College, the real person behind the mystique will be the subject of a public conversation, but we thought we'd get a preview. Brian Fleming is a Halifax lawyer who helped Pierre Trudeau in his leadership campaign and later served as an aide to him.
Morning, Mr. Fleming.
Morning, Mr. Connolly.
How many years ago was it that you came in here one morning to talk to me, and don't pretend you weren't excited, because you had been summoned to Ottawa to serve in the Prime Minister's office under the stewardship of Pierre-Olivier Trudeau?
That would have been 35 years ago. 35
can't be can't be 35. I've only been here 34.
Would have been close to 34 or 5.
Yeah, very much in the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you like him?
I liked him, and I respected him a great deal. He was fun to work with. He was fun to be around because Pierre Trudeau, in a way, was Peter Pan. I mean, he never really grew up for a whole lot of reasons, and that was part of his charm, was that he was always the eternal boy, as well as a very, you know, sophisticated man as well.
And Louise, you know, alluded to this in the beginning. There was sort of the myth, the charismatic Peter Pan, if you will, and then the man behind that, more complicated, a little more varied kind of individual. Did he work hard at his mystique, or did that come to him naturally?
Now that we've had access to his writings as a young person, two people named Nenny wrote a book a couple of years ago called The Young Trudeau, where they had access to all his records and his journals and things that he'd written as a youth. And it's clear from reading those materials that he knew he was going to be somebody, probably a political leader, not a business leader. And he therefore very carefully cultivated his reading, his traveling, his whole world outlook based on the fact that he knew someday he'd be somewhere important.
But polarizing, boy, when you think about it there. You know, you go to Alberta, and I mean, in some parts of the world, I mean, he is, you know, the preeminent Canadian prime minister of the 20th century or the most loathed political figure in the history of the country.
Yeah, he was definitely having run on the Trudeau ticket twice in Halifax in the 70s. You know, I know that you either got at the door a very, oh, hello, Pierre Trudeau's one of my heroes, or bang, I hate Pierre Trudeau, please get out of here. Yep. And, I mean, all we have to do, I mean, the White House tapes that have come out after, you know, many years ago after the Nixon presidency, you know, what Nixon used to say about him periodically, which was very uncomplimentary, was true of what people said about him in Alberta, downtown Toronto, many other places.
Yeah, national energy program, bilingualism, biculturalism, and his willingness not to fudge how he felt about that, whether he was talking about it in Ottawa or he was talking about it in Alberta.
Well, unlike politicians today, you know, he doesn't rely on focus groups, or he didn't rely on focus groups and polls to trim his sails all the time. He would get up in public and say things like, if you don't like what I'm doing, don't vote for me.
Yeah.
I mean, how many politicians have you heard saying that lately?
Just watch me.
Yeah, just watch
me. Just watch me.
Yeah. So, I mean, he had this tremendous confidence that he'd been built up and over the years. And it's hard for us to understand how privileged Trudeau was. I mean, his father was an incredibly rich guy. Trudeau lived with his mother until he was 46 years of age. He never carried money. He never had a credit card. He never signed checks. I mean, he never had a bank loan. He never had a mortgage. You know, he didn't do many, many things that ordinary Canadians do. And therefore, he was able to live in this bubble, which he did very successfully.
But when you think about the demarcation points in some ways, I always thought my first opportunity to vote was in the election of 1968. And even then, I was conscious of the fact that many of my friends from St. Ives were going to be able to vote, too. They could vote for Richard Nixon. I could vote for Pierre Trudeau, my friend. You know, it always seemed to be one of the ways in which we were different at that time in our history.
Yeah. But the 1968 election was the last election in Canada, I would maintain, that people actually voted positively rather than negatively. I mean, many, many elections, you're throwing the scoundrels out. We've seen that's how Stephen Harper got to power. And if he ever loses power, that's how he'll go. It won't be because people are electing Michael Ignatieff. They'll be throwing Stephen Harper out. But then Trudeau, by 1972, he came within two seats of losing to Bob Stanfield and, you know, had to really
And lost to Joe Clark.
And then he lost to Joe Clark. But the only reason he lost to Joe Clark, and I'll talk about this tonight, is when Margaret left him when I was working for him in 1977 in Ottawa, that just staggered him and, you know, kicked him in the gut in a way that very few things in his life had ever staggered him. He lost touch with reality in the sense that he wouldn't talk about anything like, let's have an election writ issued and let's go to the polls. You couldn't even approach him on subjects like that. And by the time he got over it, the windows had all closed for the possibility of having an election in 1977. So then he had to hang on to the bitter end in 79 and then lose to Joe Clark.
You know, there's a lot to be covered. I know that the conversation that you're going to be engaged in, in fact, will include George Eliot Clark. And I was reading some of his comments in the Trudeau No One Knew about how inspirational he was. I mean, there are people listening to us today, I'm sure, who have particular grievances with Trudeau, whether they're partisan or otherwise. But he was, as George Eliot says, inspirational to people of his generation and people of our generation, in a way that no politician has been censored.
Well, he came out in the 60s, and you remember the 60s, Don, however vaguely. You know, it was a different time where people thought the world could be changed and that leaders like Jack Kennedy and Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy in the United States and people like Pierre Trudeau in Canada, you know, were possible. I don't think Pierre Trudeau would be possible today because I think the times have changed enough that, you know, his flaws as well as good points would knock him over. But the one thing he did, and this is maybe liberal propaganda, is that very few political leaders leave their people freer when they leave than when they arrive. There are usually more laws, more regulations, so on. But by the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which Trudeau finally got through in 1982, that left every single Canadian freer as an individual than they had been prior to that, and it's no question about that.
I think the reaction to his death and the funeral and the movement of his body from one city to the other, now granted this wasn't in Alberta, but nonetheless I think that there was a recognition even amongst those people who disagreed with his policies that the likes of him will not come our way anytime soon.
Right, and you know, I unfortunately was in Vancouver when he died, and I had a seat at the funeral, but I couldn't get back. But it was a very moving event. I mean, we all remember what Justin Trudeau did. And, you know, Trudeau was larger than life, and there are very few people like that, although he came out of the hothouse of Quebec. I mean, he had René Lévesque on the other side of the coin as his enemy, and the old saying in Quebec used to be, Pierre Trudeau is the Quebecer we all wish we could be. René Lévesque is the Quebecer we all know we really are.
Well, it's be an interesting discussion, and I know people are looking forward to the discussion and the opera. It's good to see you, Brian. Thanks very much.
Good to see you, Trudeau, Louise.
The Trudeau No One Knew, a conversation between Brian Fleming and George Eliot Clark, will take place tonight at 7 p.m. at the University of King's College Alumni Hall. The event is a fundraiser for the jazz opera Trudeau, The Long March, Shining Path. Tickets for the talk are $20.